This evening we're going to be reading from Psalm 27, verses 1 and 3, from the King James Version. If you will join with me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies, my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host shall encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though a war shall rise against me, in this will I be confident. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thank you all very much. What a powerful anthem to the Lord, don't you agree? Give them one last round of applause. That was just powerful. You know, it's just so amazing to be able to be here with you this evening. I have to tell you that I was asked if this was something that I would consider doing, and frankly, I had to pray about it for a little while. I didn't give an instantaneous yes, because I just wanted to make sure that the Lord had a word for me to share with all of you this evening that would be meaningful and that you all would take something from. Repeatedly during prayer, the word fear and faith came back to me over and over, and I knew that was it. That was the message. Fear, faith, and courage. So as you arrived here this evening, you may see that we have a cross that's been built. And it was an opportunity for you to place one word as it relates to your fear and nail it to the cross. That's not by accident. That's actually what we're going to be discussing this evening. And I hope that what you will find is that through this time together, that this mosaic cross that we have created with our collective fears will be something that you will feel comfortable leaving right where it is, because the message is to leave your fears at the cross. So we know that by having fears, and we all have them, so it would seem, that we have a way to move past those, and that's through our faith. And our faith is what gives us the ability to have courage. So this evening, there are many examples of fear that I want to present to you on the screen. And I want to read some of those to you because I think they're pretty important. And some of them may actually be here on the cross this evening. So the fear of losing someone, losing something. The fear of being judged by others. I know no one really likes that. What about being lonely? No one wants to be lonely. Clearly, we don't want to be ill or have those around us that are ill. We don't like to be rejected. Death. Death is a concern. Even as Christians, sometimes that is a concern that we have. What about pain? I know that pain's on there, and I know who put it there. That would be me. So the important thing for us to recognize that is, even as Christians, we have fears. It doesn't minimize the fact that we have fears. It's just part of who we are. I want to give you some other examples. So what about the loss of a job or the threat of a loss of a job? Well, if we expound on that, what we find is we may not be able to pay our bills. Does anyone not want to pay their bills? I mean, obviously, if we've incurred the debt, we want to pay our bills. What about our health insurance? If we don't have a job, can we pay our health insurance? Probably not. And as we know, it's important to have health insurance if at all possible. But what about illness? What about a word that we have discovered that our life may be changed forever, that we may live in constant pain for the remainder of our lives? Or worse, maybe our life as we know it changes completely. Losing a loved one. That's not something we want to experience. What we don't want to experience even more is the fear of how we are going to carry on without that person in our lives. That's a challenge. And it's something that even as Christians we face, and we wonder how we're going to make it without them. You know, what about the feeling of not being sufficient? I'm sure some of us have felt that way. Perhaps from our upbringing, that was the messaging we constantly heard in our minds. You're not sufficient. You're not good enough. And then finally, what about the fear of what people will think of us? What about what we're wearing? What about what we're driving? Where we live? Who we associate with? The music that we like? The foods that we like? It's all about being judged by others. Or what about our big ideas? You know, some of us have these grandiose ideas and we just think that anything's possible. And others may not feel quite the same way about that as we do. Now, I don't know if I'm speaking to any of you this evening, but I hope that what I'm sharing with you is something that you can relate to. And maybe what I've said thus far is actually already here on our cross. It may have been your one-word response. And obviously, you all can see them more readily than I can. But I think the important thing to note is that we don't have to have one single fear, do we? They can overlap. There can be many of them that we are confronted with simultaneously. That's when it gets really interesting, isn't it? That's a time when it's good to be a Christian, because we know who it is that holds all of these answers. So for us as Christians, it's not a matter of whether or not we're going to experience fear, frankly. It's a matter of when, right? Because it's going to happen. We're going to experience fear. Now, some of those fears may be easier to digest than others. But do you know that throughout the Bible there are references to fear? As a matter of fact, Lloyd Ogilvie, he's a Presbyterian minister, and in his book, Living Without Fear, he shares that there are, in fact, 366 references to fear not. Now, the way I calculate that, there are 365 days in a normal year, and then there's an additional one for leap year. So do you think it's by chance that there are 366 references to fear not in the Bible, or do you think that's by design? Well, I think it's by design, personally. And I think that it's interesting to note that those references are not only contained in the Old Testament of the Bible, but also in the New Testament of the Bible as well. So what I want us to do is take a look at Exodus 3 and 4. I think you can read that there. So go with me in the Old Testament, second book. We're talking about Moses. Moses, so just get this picture in your mind. Moses is out tending to the goats and the sheep, minding his own business, right? And along comes who? The Lord. The Lord comes to Moses and he implores Moses to lead the Israelites out of the oppression at the hands of Egypt, right? We all know the story. It's not a new story. Well, what do you think Moses does when he is given the opportunity to have this tremendous responsibility? He begins to express to the Lord why he, Moses, right, he is not sufficient, and he will probably not be heard by the king of Egypt. So in essence, what Moses is doing here is he is expressing to the Lord all the reasons why he cannot be the one. Don't make me the one. You know, I'm out here with the goats and the sheep. I can't be the one. So as you can see there, and I want to read to you actually what Moses says. And it's not on your slide, but I think it's important to read. So I'm in Exodus 4, verse 10. Moses said to the Lord, and this is from the NIV, by the way, "O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past, nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." So again, he's expressing all the reasons why. But what does the Lord say? The Lord says, hold on a minute. Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? So he's saying to Moses, I understand what you're saying, Moses. However, this is what we're going to do. Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what it is you are to say. So the Lord is not saying, okay, Moses, I'm going to go and seek out someone else because I made a mistake and it's not you. Clearly, that's not the case. Now, is it? The Lord knew fully what it was he was doing and who it was he was calling. So he offers reassurances to Moses to help him understand and to guide him in the direction he would have him go. His plan's being carried out, just as we heard in the last song. His plan is going to be carried out. You know, on a personal note, I reflected on, there's nothing to the magnitude of Moses whatsoever that I have experienced in my life, but I have felt being insufficient and not necessarily having anything that anyone would want to hear. And you may say, really, what does that mean? Well, back in my 20s, I was selected as a young careerist of a local business women's group. I was so excited to have been recognized by them. It was quite an honor. And only in my 20s and really starting in my career, it was very exciting. Well, they didn't tell me at the time that that would involve a 15-minute speech in front of people. You see, I didn't do that. I didn't talk in front of people. So this was the district-level competition, required a 15-minute speech. Needless to say, there was a lot of fear. The fear came about very quickly. And again, with that fear came the doubt of, do I have anything to say? Do I have anything that anyone wants to hear? Now, granted, at the time, even though it was not in a place of worship, I was giving my testimony and my journey to that point. It didn't matter. I was speaking in front of people, and that was not something that I thought I was capable of doing. I prayed about that for quite a while and finally had the peace that it was something that I could do, and I was not about to let those ladies down. They had recognized me. So I went to that district competition. I gave my 15-minute speech, and I won. Well, I was thrilled. I thought, okay, well, now our little town's on the map. Everybody knows who we are, and life is good. Well, not quite, because it turns out that there's a state competition. Yes. The state competition involves speaking in front of more than 400 people in a town that I've never been to before, still really relying on the same speech that I had given, but nonetheless, in front of all these people, I honestly didn't think I could do it. I was paralyzed by fear. Not unlike Moses, you see, the Lord had a plan. The Lord put the people in my path, the right ones, the ones that I needed to have encourage me and help me be prepared for that, just as he did with Moses through Aaron. He gave Aaron the words. He knew that Moses was up to the challenge. He knew I was up to the challenge. You know, if it was not for that experience that I had in my 20s, and my faith in him, and the removal of the fear through that faith, I would not have been able to speak in front of that group. And I wouldn't be able to speak here this evening either. But through my faith in him, I have been able to speak in front of countless groups over the years. And it's always his message. I always make sure I get out of the way. Because ultimately, if it's not his message, it certainly doesn't need to be mine. Clearly, I give him the praise and glory for that. And I'm sure whatever your fear is, you do as well. So we talked about Moses, and there are many other examples in the Old Testament of exactly the same thing, fear, and how we deal with fear. So moving on now to the New Testament, it's littered with similar experiences. And one that we're going to talk about is actually in Matthew chapter 14. It's a story we already know. It involves a boat. Everybody remember this? A storm. And then there's this ghost. Right? Sound familiar? So Jesus had just finished feeding the 5,000 with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And I'm sure we all remember that. And he tells his disciples to go out ahead of him on the boat. You see, Jesus had just discovered that John the Baptist had been beheaded. And he really needed some alone time, as I could only imagine I would also need some alone time. So Jesus sends the disciples out onto the boat. And in so doing, reading from chapter 14, verse 24, not on your slide. But the boat was already a considerable distance from the land. It was buffeted by waves because the wind was against it. So here are the disciples. They're out on the water. They're obeying the Lord. They're going in the direction He would have them go. And they come up to this storm. So what do? They're fearful, are they not? They don't know what to think. Now, these are fishermen, aren't they? They're fearful. And so what happens next is very interesting. Jesus takes note of what's happening, as you would expect. And He decides that He is going to walk on the lake. And when they see Him, what do they think? Do they think it's Jesus? No, they think it's a ghost, don't they? They think that they are seeing a ghost, and they cry out that they're terrified with fear because they think they are encountering a ghost. So that's not where the story ends. What does Jesus do then? He offers them reassurance. Actually, what He says is, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. So He has just said to them, here I am. It's Jesus. Don't be afraid, right? Does anyone remember what Peter does? Well, Peter, being very vocal, says, okay. If it's you, Lord, what does he want? What does he say? If it's you, Lord, have me get out of the boat and walk on water, right? Well, Jesus decided to go with that. And He said to Peter, come. And what happens to Peter at that point? He walks on water, doesn't he? You know, the interesting thing here is the way Peter reacts is Peter is actually challenging the Lord. He's challenging Him by saying, you know, if it's you, then come on, tell me to walk on the water already. And Jesus says, well, then come. So I guess the question is, do we ever react the same way as Peter? Do we ever find ourselves questioning the Lord, questioning His motives about what it is He would have us do? I think if we're honest with ourselves, the answer is probably yes. Because sometimes we don't like what we hear. Sometimes we don't like the outcome. Is that not true? That's part of being human. You know, this fear that they have is really just our human response, because we are human. And what we know is that fear is fear. The good news for us is that fear is coming. And as Christians, there's a solution to fear. And in preparing for this message, you know, I came up with a word that's not a word. And if you're an English professor, I'm sorry. And that word is solution. What is the solution to fear? Well, solution is our relationship with the Lord. He provides His promises to us. He gives them to us freely. If we have a relationship with Him, then we are in a position to have the answers that we need. We know that what we read in the Bible is true. We know that His promises are true. And we know that we sometimes struggle with what those promises are. You know, it's interesting because here's Peter. He's walking on water. He then turns his attention to the wind. And when he turns his attention to the wind, he takes his eyes off of Jesus. What happens to him then? The same thing that would happen to us, figuratively or literally, right? He begins to sink. Well, what happens to him then? He cries out to the Lord, doesn't he? Hey, help me. Jesus, come and save me. And what does he do? What does Jesus do at that point? He extends his hand. But while he's extending his hand, he's also reminding him. He's reminding Peter, "Oh, ye of little faith." Reading from a whole other version of the Bible. "Oh, ye of little faith, why do you doubt?" So he's clearly not going to let him drown. He's one of his disciples. But at the same time, he's sending a message to Peter. He's sending a message to Peter that I'm the one to trust. I'm the one to put your faith in and keep your eyes firmly planted on me. Does that hit home for anyone? Sometimes we try to do it alone. And when we do it alone, we can become overwhelmed. You see, fear and faith can't coexist. It's just not possible. Now, there are clearly fears that we should have, right? Fear of swimming when you can't because you don't know how. Fear of jumping out of a perfectly good airplane without a parachute. I mean, you know, there are clearly fears that we should have. But in general, fear and faith cannot coexist. You know, personally, I am faced with fear from time to time. And I have to tell you, and I don't know if this works for you or if it's anything that you even find inspiring. When I find myself in that situation, what I have chosen to do is I say, and often out loud, so if you're with me when it's happening, then you're going to know. If Jesus can die on the cross for my sins and my ability to have eternal life, I can get through whatever this is. It's not always the most pleasant thing or what it is that I want to have happen, but I know I can get through it because he's in control, not me. We go back to David, where we started, Psalm 27, verses 1 through 3. You know, David was a man after God's own heart. And he's singing out to the Lord, and he's saying to him, "I affirm that you are the solution. You are the light. You are the solution. You are the one that my strength is derived from." He gives us those words as reassurance for us, because we too are going to find ourselves in similar situations. You know, foes, they come in all shapes and sizes, and sometimes they're people, sometimes they're medical conditions, sometimes they're financial troubles. It doesn't matter. They're enemies and they're fears that are creep into our being and will latch on to us, frankly, if we don't have that faith to shield us. You know, in verse 3, and it's there on the screen, David's thoughts really help us to align around the fact that these things are coming, like I've said. And he's confident they're coming. And we all know they're coming. But he will not fear. Likewise, we should not fear. Now, I know what you're saying. I know you're sitting there and you're thinking, okay, well, that's great, but that doesn't really apply to me. And, you know, my fear is different than that. Or, hey, I'm all in, but it's just not working. It's okay. It's okay because it's human nature. The good news is that through faith, fear becomes courage. And there are just a couple of scriptures that I've pulled that I really felt spoke to this. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For the Lord has not given us the spirit of fear, but instead of power and love and of sound mind." He just wants us to rely on him. In Psalm 112, verse 7, "They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them." Wow. That's powerful and meaningful. And then finally in Psalm 118, verses 6 and 7, "The Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me, he is my helper." Say that last part with me. The Lord is with me. Me. You. He is my helper. Do you believe that tonight? He absolutely is. And he just wants a place. He just wants a place in your heart. You know, if we arm ourselves, that's the most important thing we can do. Relying on His Scripture, earnestly praying for Him to be the one to help us through the fear, for Him to help us recognize that regardless of what the circumstances are, no matter how difficult, it's through that relationship that we can come out on the other side. Not only that, but you know, I think the good news in all of this is those experiences that we have, they're part of our testimony. Have you thought of it that way? You know, if we think about our current set of circumstances and where it is that we are this evening, we may be saying to ourselves, well, you know, if this is all there is, but if we step back and we consider and look at our journey to date, was He in it? Was He supporting you through whatever the circumstances were? There should be an amen there, because that's absolutely true. And so while our current circumstances may not be the ones that we would hope for, He is in control, and He will guide you through it, no matter what the circumstances are. And I have to tell you that on some level, I think I'm saying those things to myself tonight as well. So as we re-examine this cross tonight, it's important to note there are a lot of nails there. You hammered your fears to that cross. You know what that means? That means your fear now lives on the cross. You don't have to take it out of this room tonight. You've given it to the Lord. Leave it there. Let Him give you what it is you need and equip you to be able to go on the journey that you're on with your fear. I really believe that He is not going to let go of us. He wants to pull us in. He wants us to pull us in more closely than we already are. And I know that through our willingness to allow that relationship to be the relationship in our life that's first and foremost, those things can happen for everyone in this room and everyone joining us via live stream. If the band would please come forward. As the band comes forward, if you would just bow with me in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank You for loving us and sending Your Son so that we can place our fears on this cross tonight. Lord, we know that we would be such a mess if You were not in our world, if Your promises were not true. Father, instead, we ask that You help us to see these fears as an opportunity to draw closer to You and to focus on the solution that You freely provide. And Father, if there happen to be those among us this evening that don't have that personal relationship with You, I would just ask that You put that burning desire in their hearts, that You would help them to recognize how much different life can be if with You. Father, we pray in earnest that You will pull us in close. We know that You are in control. Father, we ask all things in Christ's precious name tonight. Amen.